Blessing and peace on you. In the mighty name of King Jesus, Troy Brewer coming at you strong from behind the pulpit here at Open Door Church. And I'm in the studio today. And the guests that I have here today, I actually had recently, I totally dissed him and I totally forgot that we were supposed to talk. And I was driving down the road on my motorcycle, I had my big Harley trike, out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh. And I pulled over on the side of the road and Mason had been trying to call me and it was like panic time. I called this brother back and he was so gracious. And so I literally did the last interview from the side of the road. I think I was in Meridian, Texas by the time that I called you. Pastor Darren Stott from Seattle Revival Center. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Great to hear your voice again today.
Well, thanks, man. I'm so grateful for you taking the time to talk to me. I know that you do this kind of stuff all the time. You're a pro at it. I'm obviously not. And I'm grateful, bro. Thanks so much, man, for spending the time, man. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't call myself a pro, but it sure is a passion to be able to dive in and just host conversations. And so thank you for hosting this conversation because I got lots of questions for you.
Okay, man. Well, friends, if you so get ready. Now, I want to warn everybody that at the time that we're recording this, it is actually the Day of Atonement. It's the 10th day of Av, and I have been fasting for 10 days, okay? And I'm a fat man, and when I fast, I have billions and billions of fat cells crying out going, what in the wide, wide world of sports are you doing? So I was actually fasting the last time I spoke with you. It was the beginning of this fast. And now I'm actually going to end it tonight. And I'm ending it. I'm having a feast tonight at 8:30. My mouth is watering as I'm saying this. Hang on. Okay, I'm good. I'm having a feast tonight at 8:30, immediately following our service with my brother from, Stephen Gashumba from Kigali, Rwanda. I have Pastor Sudhir Mahani from Vishakhapatnam, India. I have Pastor Dima from Ukraine. I have Pastor Hanavibo Izagiri from Matamoros, Mexico. I have Tom and Shivana from Nepal. And then I have Margaret Chacha from Tanzania. These are all my partners, and they've all come in, and we're all going to have a feast tonight and pray over all the works that we're doing all over the planet. So I just want to warn everybody, I do not have a filter. I don't have much of a train of thought, and we'll just see how this goes. So are you okay with that, Pastor Darren?
Yeah, absolutely.
Last time you and I were together, we were talking about church government, and we were talking about different wineskins of government, and we were talking about I specifically went off on how we do things here and the kind of thing that we go after. Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was very helpful.
All right. Well, then you had some meetings following that, I believe. How did those meetings go?
Yeah, so we had a great conference this last weekend, and which is pretty common. We usually do about a conference a month at this point.
Wow.
Really, and we're probably not going to keep up that pace going into 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're going to be pretty strategic as far as how we're dialing things in. But yeah, it was great, man. We feel encouraged. We're full of energy, ready to plow forward.
Okay, man. Well, listen, man. So you said that you have some questions for me. So what do you got? Let's get off into it.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So the question is regarding, as being a pastor and kind of leading our team, we own our own property. We have a debt-free building. We have 7 acres. And there's a lot of stuff that we need to do with our church infrastructure, wineskin. It's kind of like what we talked about last time as far as church government. So there's a lot of things that we're really trying to focus on as we build the local church. But there's also this this call to be a revival center, which in the heart of the city, to be in downtown Seattle. So right now we're in the burbs, we're in the suburbs, about 20 minutes outside of the city. But it's really the in the cities where there's incredible opportunities to love mercy, to do justice, there's such a need to be working with the homeless in the city, as like the stuff that you guys are currently doing, as well as it's really in the city where you have your grassroots elites, you have your young professionals, you have your cultural influencers. And really, to my knowledge, there's not really a revival center in the city of Seattle where there is an expression of, you know, prophetic worship and intentionality and gathering and taking the presence of the Lord, integrating it to that city dynamic. Now, there might be, but just to my knowledge, I don't really know of kind of a kingdom gathering spot. So look, the Lord spoke to me gave me this word about building an Epcot, which is basically an experimental prototype, a community of tomorrow. Definitely stole it from Walt Disney. I didn't even know what Epcot meant. The Lord just kept saying, build an Epcot, Epcot, wow. Epcot. And I had no idea what that even meant. So I Googled it and I saw that Walt Disney's basically his revelation to build a city. And people didn't understand it. You know, people thought that, you know, they ended up building an amusement park, theme park. That's not what he actually wanted to build. And he had this revelation, like this crazy kind of thing. And so we're doing local church, right? And we're doing, and there's big things that we need to do locally that require energy and time and resources. And honestly, that's like a full-time job. So my question for you is, how do you do local church well? How do you do systems? Everything that you need to do in order to be a dynamic where people are meeting Jesus and discovering their identity and destiny, while also knowing the right timing to expand, knowing the right timing when to step beyond what you're doing in the present to really kind of go after something audacious and something kingdom in the region, knowing that that might cost you your momentum within the local church.
Well, I think all that goes to the Sons of Issachar anointing, okay, when it comes to the timing, when it comes to prophetic timing on things, and when it comes to prophetic vision, okay? So you and I as pastors of churches, we're visionaries, we're responsible for the culture of the house, the atmosphere, the environment. We're responsible for overseeing things, and then we're also responsible for the divine interruptions of now. Let's pull the trigger on this thing that has been on the back burner. And that is definitely a tribal anointing. That's a Sons of Issachar anointing. And I think that tribal anointings have to do with who you live life with. And if you do not live life and do life with people that understand prophetic timings of vision, then you're going to be left out. And I'm very aware of that. And I'm like, okay, the prophetic timing of things is so important. It's one of the greatest ways that God speaks to me is through the prophetic timing of things. So what I try to do, Pastor Darren, what I try to do is, number one, stay on track with what the target is. Like for us right now, everything huge that we're doing is going towards our 2020 prophetic event, which is on January the 20th at the Tarrant County Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. So that's a huge, it's the biggest event we've ever done, 10,000-seat arena, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so we're going after that. And we're in way over our heads on costs. We're in way over our heads on, you know, we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to do that. And we're working on all that. With that said, my phone is ringing daily over, we need to rescue this girl. We need to we need to help with this. We need to do that. And the balance between the two of those things is a very, very difficult, it's a very difficult thing. And the burden of it can be terrible if you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in directing you within the prophetic timing of those things. And so I am constantly going, you know what? If I had the ability to do this and stay on track with the 2020 thing, I'm going to do it. If I do not have the ability to do this and stay on track with the 2020 thing, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to be aware that this thing has to be done and we're going to have to get creative and innovative on how to do it. So I think that, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but again, getting back to the timing of things, I think that that is very much a tribal anointing. And I think that tribal anointings, again, that's already identified as the Sons of Issachar, First Chronicles, and that has to do with who you do life with. Do you hear me? Do you hear me on that part?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have to be around other people that understand these things. I mean, the mandate of our church is to save girls out of sexual trafficking. The mandate of our church is the reason why we do big church is to do big ministry outside. So I can't say no to that. However, the Lord gave me a specific charge to do a stadium event in Fort Worth, Texas. He told me when I was in Ukraine last year, I want you to do a stadium event in Ukraine, and I want you to do one in Fort Worth, Texas. And so I'm leaving here in 2 weeks to go do the stadium event in Ukraine, and then when we come back, we're doing this one. Okay, well, like, well, Lord, how in the world can I juggle all this? Man, I just don't have to. What I have to do is be aware of what God has called me to do. And then if something comes in and if those things do not match, like, okay, well, what have I got? Okay, well, I have the finish line of January the 20th that I have to do. And then I also have the mandate to save girls out of sexual trafficking. And in the midst of all that, I mean, I literally pull out all the stops. I just say, I have to do both of these things. Now, there's other things that are coming in that are not in alignment with those two assignments. And they're good things, and they're wonderful things, and they're great things, but they're not the thing that I'm working on right now. And if I'm not hanging around the right people, I will totally get messed up on all that.
Yeah, that's really good. So basically, what you're saying is there needs to be discernment regarding the prophetic timing and season.
Yes.
But also another major part of that is being a part of an appropriate community that can help you perhaps in discerning the season, as well as perhaps providing you just the practical intel that's needed to really execute the vision of it.
Got it. That's exactly right. So I have a financial meeting so I have a meeting on Mondays of my top pastors. They come out to my ranch and we spend the entire day together. So I have my worship pastor, I have my executive pastor, I have my pastor in charge of all of my production and media, I have my children's church pastor, and I have the guy that's in charge of all the elders. Those guys come out on Monday. We spend the entire day talking about the next 6 weeks so that I stay on track with that. And we're like, okay, on Sundays, this is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing, and this is where we're directing it to, yada, yada, yada. Then on Tuesdays, it's a lot of the same people, but they bring completely different information because they're bringing to me, hey, I need to campaign for this financially, I need to campaign for that financially, and then I make financial decisions, and we have a huge financial meeting. I have a meeting with all those people, and then I also have my accounts person, and she's sitting there, and then after they're done, they all get up and they leave, and then I sit there and I go, okay, let's pull the trigger on this and this and this. It's the combination of those two things that keep us on track. And if I just have
so
one,
kind of like,
yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like on your Monday, it's almost more of like if you're planning out 6 weeks, it's almost like those are more like overarching kind of goals. Is that right? Are you guys really talking about like your practical goals and objectives that you're going after in the next 6 weeks? And then the next day, you're actually getting more into the practicalities of what it's going to take to execute it?
Yes, I would say yes to that. I would say that Mondays are a lot more creative. Mondays are a whole lot more relational, and then Tuesdays are a whole lot more functional and about the practicality of actually making it work. So, yeah, so we have both of those. And what I find is I am not good at doing those two things together. I have to have a full day apart to be able to do the difference between those two. I think that the kryptonite to creativity is anxiety. And so I think it's, you know, the kryptonite to, you know, I know that – or by the way, speaking of kryptonite, are you in your office right now?
I'm in my home office.
for everybody that's listening, dude, this brother has Superman all over his office, which is really cool. But I think that there comes a time where we have to be incredibly creative. All right, so we're talking about, hey, like we're doing a huge series on that's called Heart for the House. Okay, and it has to do with exactly what you're talking about. We do so much stuff outside of the house. We also want to create awareness and campaign and get people involved in the stuff that we're doing in the house, which typically it's opposite for most churches. But for us, it's very easy for us to point to everything we're doing outside of the church, but it's kind of difficult for us to point to the stuff that we're doing inside the church. I don't know. We just kind of feel weird about it. You know, we're just like, I don't know. We're always breach. Our church was born breach, and we tend to do things differently like that. But on the Mondays, we get together like, okay, so are we going to have a Salvation Sunday, and how is that going to work, and how can we start praying for those people, and how can we get people actively involved? What does that look like? How can we yada, yada, yada? And we dream. we dream and we have fun and we spend a whole day out at my ranch. Sometimes we go to this really cool, it's a 16,000 acre hunting ranch that I'm a member of that's just right down the road. And sometimes we go out there and we do fun stuff or we'll fish and we just spend all day. The next day, man, it is the same thing, but it is about all of the mechanics and what's it going to cost, and who needs to be involved, who do we need to talk to, and it's really hard work. So I think that, I have to have both of those things.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. I think, as far as one of the things I've just been thinking through in regards to expansion and expansion conversations and understanding timing and seasons is, I don't know if you've heard this story before, but Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, back in the late 90s, they were looking at expanding and coming to the West Coast. And they almost did. I think they had everything all set up. And then at the very last second, they ended up not doing it. And he ended up pulling the plug on it. And I think they were wanting to keep up with the Boston market. So at that time in the late 90s, the Boston market did come to the Northwest. And we had Boston markets that popped up all over the place. They were open for a few years and then they all shut down. And so all those Boston markets over here all ended up shutting down. But it's just been in the last 2 years, we're talking maybe like 15, 20 years later from the initial conversation, that now Chick-fil-A's are popping up and you should see the lines. I mean, the drive-through lines are just wrapping around the building. There's all this controversy because it's a Christian company and all these different ideas that, they're not into the GLBT. And here we are in Seattle and these restaurants are so successful, like they're working out, but they really got the timing right. And that's where, for me, the idea of expansion is exciting, and being able to go into the city and to see a Seattle Revival Center in the center of Seattle, to me, and that was a part of the original vision of our organization, of our church. But not wanting to do what Boston Market did, which is to prematurely try to give birth to something outside of its right time, versus following in the footsteps of good old Dan Cathy and doing things in the right time right and seeing the right fruit come about as a result.
Well, no, I get it. I really do. I get it. I think, I tend to start at the end game and then come back towards the process, towards those things. So, I know that we're going to have another campus within the next couple of years. And so I know that. So the only room that we have for expansion where we're at right now is in the third service. And that's it. We don't have any room for expansion in the first service or second service. And so we will go to a fourth service, but that's probably going to be a Saturday night instead of a Sunday, which will enable us to do two more services instead of one more on Saturday. But you have to have a completely different team on Saturday than you do on Sunday. You can't ask people to volunteer for five services. I'm not going to do that to people. So we have to, okay, how in the world can we do this and how can we make this happen? And then, of course, the answer to that would be, hey, let's don't do a Saturday service. Let's just do another campus so we actually have plans on doing several campuses within the city, within the very city that we're in. Simply because we don't want to build. I don't have a vision to build a 10,000 seat, auditorium. I don't want to do that. That's just not what I want to do. Now, I'm not going to say I'm never going to do it. The only thing I tell God I'm never going to do is I'm never going to go to Hawaii. I'm never going to do those kinds of things. So that way he can I think you understand what I'm saying. I don't know if reverse psychology Absolutely. Works with God, but I'm trying. But I just don't want to do that. So we have a huge plan for expansion and where we're expanding, and then we're looking at expanding into other cities as well and doing that. And we are also looking at expanding. We have three food banks now. So, and we just opened up the newest food bank less than a year ago in a little town called Walnut Springs. And so those things are always on our radar. But I think for us, I think I have to begin at the end of it first and then come back and say, what are the proper, okay, if we want to be a greater, if we want to be the kind of church that has a greater testimony and is more actively involved in helping people and in doing this and doing that and doing that, is that what God is saying yes to? And if God is saying yes to that, and if I feel that urgency, the sense of timing to that, then it makes sense to me to go back and then actually start talking about expansion. But I'm not even going to discuss it until I know what that end game is. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, all right. So what else you got?
So it's
you're awesome, dude.
Yeah. Well, let me just ask you in regards to expansion. You obviously have to have a certain amount of, going back to the community conversation, the people that you're running with, if you were to compose kind of a dream team to do something that you haven't done before and or to go somewhere you haven't gone before, and you don't even know necessarily, like if you were to use business terms, you haven't necessarily even tested your product, you know, to your demographic yet. So when it comes to being kind of a pioneering work and doing something somewhere new with someone new, what kind of dream team would you put together in order to do that with as much wisdom as possible so that you're not prematurely jumping the gun?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for us, and again, this might not work for everybody else, but like whenever we get ready to expand to different parts of this city, I'm not even going to get the building until I have a number of people from this building that are signed up who go into covenant with me and say, yeah, you know what? We're actually from that part of town and we will go to that church. Okay. So there's and already in covenant, hey, you guys are going to go this, you're going to start this thing off and this is going to be your church, right? Yes. I think it's the same way too for me when it comes to what other cities do we expand in. And it has to do with where do we already have a move of God that has required something there. So how I know that, and then I know that because of our radio ministry and because of the ministries we do all over the place. Like, it makes sense to us to end up doing something where our food banks are, okay? It makes sense to us. But that doesn't mean that I know how to do that. So I have an outside counsel for that. And I have two outside counsels that are mega churches. One is Church of the Highlands. You mentioned Dream Team, and that's what, you know, that's what they call their volunteer group is Dream Team. And then we also have Gateway Church that is here, who are just masters at expansion and moving to other places and opening up additional campuses and the ins and outs of that. So to me, it's two different groups. It's one is a group of people that recognizes we have a need for us to expand. Number one, we have a need for us to branch out from here because our building is limited to 1,000 seats. And so like, okay. And it's not just the 1,000 seats, it's the halls and the bathrooms and the parking lot and all that kind of stuff. So we do need to expand out. We do need to – okay, well then once my team says, okay, we got to make this happen, then I have to have another team of people that knows how to how do we build another campus? How do we do this? What do we type in from here to there? And those people have to get counsel from people that are already doing that. That's not a will that I want to invent at all.
Yeah, that's helpful. That's really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna add my own spice to it, but I mean, those models are already there, and I want to see what those models are, and I want to see what works and why it works, and then take it and chew on it, and then make the move out of that. And I want a very confident team of people that are reaching out to those other people concerning that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think one of the things here in the Northwest, it's a bit of a different dynamic than it would be in Texas.
Sure.
In that the majority of the charismatic churches are not mega churches. Mm-hmm. Versus in the Northwest, your mega churches are going to be less charismatic, if that makes sense. Not wanting to, you know, pigeonhole things or typecast them. And so what that does is that makes mentoring and relationship a little bit more difficult, even though right now we're actually being mentored by a church that isn't necessarily charismatic, but the lead guy has been willing to come in and really help us with some of our organizational kind of issues and stuff, awesome. Which is awesome and very, very generous of him. But what I love about like kind of like that dynamic that you have in Texas is you got churches that are excellent, but they're also very spirit led churches like yourself, you know? Yeah. So there's like they're presence driven. And yet there's also a level of excellence, and then you are surrounded by, it sounds like, you know, with Gateway and the other church that you mentioned, that you have some amazing peers there that can really kind of link shields with you and help kind of advance what you guys are doing there. Versus in the Northwest, that's a little bit more lonely.
I bet. Well, I want to
encourage you. Which is why I appreciate this conversation and relationship with you.
Right on.
Well, and being able to glean from what you've learned.
Well, thank you. Well, I want to learn from you too, man. And you need to know this, like Church of the Highlands, which is a tremendous resource to us. Dude, they're out of Alabama. So those guys, yeah. So those guys are like 800 something miles away from us. And just in connecting with them, I just found them so anxious to be so helpful. Do you know, man, I went to one of their meetings and just told them, hey, man, I don't know how to do like professional documents and I don't know any of that. And they're like, okay, hang on. And they leave and they come back and they gave me a DVD and went, here's every legal document that this church has. Just take our name off of everything and just paste your name on it. I was like,
that's awesome.
What?
That is so awesome.
I mean, there's no telling what the value was on that. I think I had a staff of like 3 people then. And I was like, are you kidding me? And they're like, no, here, you can just have it. I mean, I was like,
wow.
I never heard of anything like that. And so, no, there are churches out there, man, that are not only sharing their resources, but they'll tell you, this is what kind of team you need. This is what kind of people you ought to put together. It's been our experience as this. Like, I know that Church of the Highlands, they have, I don't know how many extra campuses they had, but they were like, it costs us $1 million. We know what it costs us. It costs us $1 million. We have to have $1 million. If we're going to do a campus and it's going to be a 500-seater, it's going to cost $1 million. And we know that.
Wow.
And we have multiples all over the city and all over here and all over there. And we're like, okay, wow. And then they are the ones. And also Gateway is the ones that says, look, we never go and expand into an area that we don't already have the building filled before we go there. We will fill the building before we go. We tell our entire, okay, we are going to go there. I want you to covenant with me. It's going to be another 6 months. It's going to be another 8 months before we do this. But I want you to covenant with me. And then they have somebody that contacts every single one of those people. And then they have meetings with those people. And they talk about when they're going to have their launch and how they're going to do this, you know. And so there's just a lot of excellent models out there of people. And I want to tell you what their frustration is. Their frustration is not that so many people want information from them. Their frustration is that so many people don't. And they're like, we're willing to be a resource. And we don't care if you want it or not, but we would give it to you. And so that's really encouraging to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also like kind of a reminder, like that's what we all should be.
Yes.
No matter what
the size of our organization, or the size of our business,
or the size of whatever, that we should do this whole thing of making disciples, right?
And
that we should have the heart of a teacher and the heart of Jesus, that we'd be willing to say, hey, whatever I know, whatever I received, really I receive, and freely I'm going to give, you know? So I love that. That's amazing.
Well, Pastor Darren Stott, all the way from Revival Center, the Seattle Revival Center, is the guy who I'm talking with right now. And Pastor Darren, how in the world do people connect with you? What do they need to do to be able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go to, they can check out our church online, SeattleRevivalCenter.com. And you're like, well, I don't live anywhere near Seattle. That's fine, because we have hundreds of hours of videos and podcasts, and
awesome.
It's all free, so you can't even buy anything on our website.
Awesome.
So check out SeattleBibleCenter.com, check out our podcast, our YouTube channel, all that good stuff. You can also check out my website. My name is DarrenStott.com, and doing a lot of stuff with the podcast right now, as well as social media. So check out our podcast and Instagram. Just go to DarrenStott.com, and everything kind of hubs out from there.
All right. Well, Pastor Darren, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for being my friend. I want you to come down to Open Door Church, man. I want you to come down here. I want you to come down and hang out with us. I want you to teach. I want you to pour into my leadership. I want you to preach. I want you to come hang out with us and do life with me, man.
Oh, that would be a blast. That'd be amazing.
Okay. Well, I'll get with you. Yeah. I'll get with you, and we'll set up some dates, man. I'd love for you to come down.
come through that open door.
Come on, I dare you. Okay, yeah. So listen,
we're gonna get you back in Seattle too. We're gonna do it right.
Do it, man. Do it, man.
Yeah, come on.
Well, thanks so much, man, for taking the time, and I'm grateful for you, and I'm glad to be your friend, and I appreciate so much, man, for you being my friend. Thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been huge. Thanks so much, Troy, and let's just definitely stay in touch.
Okay, brother. Well, blessing and peace on you, man.
All right, you too. Talk soon.
Okay, buddy. Love you, man. Bye-bye.